Hi, and welcome to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals and do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. After suffering an attack by a stranger one night that led to a broken ankle, Colin Jackson experienced severe nerve pain in his leg. Even after ankle surgery, he was still experiencing the pain. His doctors told him it was an overuse injury due to the fact that he was an avid runner. However, a scan of his leg finally revealed the truth. Jackson had grade 3 chondrosarcoma, a rare bone cancer. In this episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast, Jackson opens up about coping with the surgical removal of part of his femur, hip, and surrounding muscle, and how he went on to complete another marathon anyway.
To start, in 2019, you're diagnosed with a rare form of bone cancer. Can you take me back to what led up to that diagnosis and what you eventually were diagnosed with?
In 2018, I was feeding the homeless in my neighborhood, which I do quite often. And it was a Monday night, about 9 o'clock, and I was sitting down on a grassy area right by the beach, and I was attacked from behind. And when I was attacked, I got up to try and defend myself, and I slipped in a sprinkler hole and broke my ankle. So that was in June of 2019. I went through getting my ankle operated on and adding hardware in there to fix the breaks. In doing so, after a few months, I was getting nerve pain that was shooting down my leg. So the doctors I was going to then were saying, oh, it's like an overuse injury because you're using it again, using it too much. Like my IT band was hurting, but the sciatic nerve who was running all the way down my leg was hurting. So they were like, oh, that's because there must be pins from my ankle surgery pushing up against the sciatic nerve. And it just didn't seem right. Like the doctors I was going to, I went to 4 different doctors and they all diagnosed me with the IT band strain, and they recommended that getting the plates or the hardware out of my ankle would be the fix to the pain. So fast forward to June of 2019, so like a year later, the pain was just getting like worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And I finally had the surgery to remove the plate, but that didn't alleviate the pain. And at this point, like the pain in my IT band was extreme. Like I wasn't able to sleep at night. It was getting worse at night. It was a pain that was like deep and it was extremely painful. There was nothing that I could do other than riding a bike and a bicycle, like to alleviate the pressure from my sciatic nerve. So I thought I was getting like the runaround from doctors and stuff. Like they weren't listening to me. So I just kept fighting, calling every day and seeing if there was any available appointments to schedule with other doctors. And I finally got scheduled to a pain management doctor in July, but they said that there wouldn't be any openings until November 22nd. I'm like, I can't wait that long. Like, I want my problem fixed. I just don't want pain pills. There's something not right. And they call back. And then on August the 1st, I went in for scans. Like, they give me every scan possible, right, on my leg. And that was when I got a referral to the Moores Cancer Center. And on August 9th, I was diagnosed with grade 3 chondrosarcoma. So it's, like you said, a rare form of bone cancer that starts in the cartilage. Mine happened to start at the hip area. So in August of 2019, because of the way it's so aggressive and it moves extremely fast, I had my hip and part of my femur removed, and with the cancer tumor to ultimately save my life. But yeah, I was diagnosed in August 2019, and then the surgery was just like 2 weeks after diagnosis. Like you can't wait, because I think 3 weeks from like biopsy and scanning to when it was like I was operated on, the tumor had doubled, so it'd grown extremely fast.
And you finally get this diagnosis that, you know, you in fact have cancer. What was your immediate thought when you heard that?
My parents were in the room, because this was back when people were allowed to be in like the cancer patient's physical room with them. And that there hit them like, you've got cancer. But what hit me the toughest was being told that I wouldn't be able to run because of where my cancer was and what was going to have to be removed. My running days or my endurance days were coming to an end. So that's what really hit me harder than getting told that I had cancer. I mean, what do you think? I mean, I went to obviously Dr. Google. I did that. And then I saw the numbers, right? The life expectancy, the 1 year life expectancy, the 3 and the 5. And it's like, oh man. So then I reached out to a friend who was battling cancer as well. And he told me, you don't freak out until you have a damn good reason to freak out. And I think that was probably the best advice that somebody had given me. And I stopped looking at Google, you know, I stopped looking at WebMD, and I didn't freak out. Like, like, yeah, like loosen your hip and your femur. I mean, yeah, being told you can't run again. Hey, but I was still going to have my leg, right? I was still going to have my life. I was still able, you know? So getting told you have cancer is one thing. It's just the fear of the unknown that's the scary part, right? Whenever you hear the word cancer, it's like uber scary. So yeah, I think since then to now, I've understood that it's fearful when I've recognized that I have fear, but I don't dwell on the fear because it would just overtake my life like it would anyone, right? Or overtake my mind, and then it would just creep into all aspects of my life.
Can you kind of go into, you know, your experience with running, what led you to run, and what you got out of running before your diagnosis?
Yeah, in January 2014, I went to my primary care doctor because I was like having problems breathing. It was this strenuous task for me walking from my car up the stairs to my house. So I went to the doctor and I was morbidly obese. Like doctor said, if you want to see your next birthday, you're going to have to make a change. So on January 21st of 2014, I committed to complete a marathon, a full marathon, 26.2 miles within less than a year. I completed that marathon January 2015. And in doing so, I lost 106 pounds and had a new lease on life. So what running's taught me is like, if it wasn't for running, I wouldn't be here today, right? Even with, like, I wouldn't even had a cancer diagnosis because I wouldn't even made it to that point. So running, like, I've been able to be extremely, like, conditioned. Like, conditioned my mind to overcome the things that I once thought were challenging. So when I was losing weight, I broke it down simply and did mini goals and, like, weekly goals. Fast forward to cancer, been going through the last, you know, 18 months or so. It's the exact same thing. I just break them down. So running's taught me how to, like, yes, it's big. It's, the goal is huge, right? But if I break it down short by short, I'll have one a win like within a week, and then little victories over and over again is going to lead up to a big one. I credit like my running and what I got from completing the 9 full marathons I had prior to getting diagnosed with cancer to being able to me to get mentally prepared for ultimately the toughest race of my life, which has been battling chondrosarcoma. So like running, like who would have thought like running? Why do people run? I used to think like you just like go out there. Why are they running long distances for like the choice of it? Why do people do this? And it's like, well, I used it as a meditating tool. I go out there and, you know, really feel the feelings of what I was feeling and address my feelings like a me time. And that just happened to be, you know, every morning for like, you know, before work or, you know, in the evening when you come home. So running taught me that I can't overcome. So it's like, even though cancer's been a little bit of a different type of race, it still gives me the foundations which I've used.
What was it like coming out of surgery and rehabbing what I'm sure was an extensive surgery?
Yeah, so it was a 9.5 hour surgery, and I'm fortunate that I was in the best athletic shape or the health of my life prior to the surgery. But yeah, afterwards, I spent a couple of weeks in the hospital and a couple of weeks in a nursing home, and then daily physical therapy. Like, and I've been doing it myself, you know, just like simple things like rolling the ankle or spelling, you know, my A, B, C, and D with my toes. 4 letters was like a task at the beginning, right? So it's like I would have to break up the alphabet over a course of sessions. You know, it might take me a couple hours. That was in 2019. And then the world came to a halt a year ago around this time. So it's like, the in-home PT that I had set up was like stopped because they were going to the nursing homes. And back then they didn't want people going from home to home. And it hasn't been easy, but not, I mean, life isn't easy, right? So everything I've done is tough. Like I've had to relearn all the basic things in life, like picking up your leg to get into a car, for instance. Getting in and out of a car, or getting in and out of shower, the simplest things that I took for granted because I didn't think about them really before. You know, they were just so simple that it just happened. It's like, whoa. Then I got told last March that it metastasized and spread to my lungs. So in April, I began some radiation treatment last year. And because of it being aggressive and rare, and because chemotherapy and radiation typically aren't treatment options for chondrosarcoma because it works so fast, that's what they told me the treatment plan was. And I was like, wait a second, you just 4 months ago, or no, 6 months ago, you were telling me it didn't work, but it's like, here, but now we've got to try this route. Maybe it didn't work for my leg and my hip, but now it was going to work for my lungs. And I had 4 days intense chemotherapy. Each day was like the equivalent of like 30 treatments or sessions, typically of somebody with lung cancer. And I started on a chemotherapy pill. And by my September scans, I was told that it worked. Like it was like they're a bay. And then in December of 2020, I was told that another one popped up in my lung. So in January, after my marathon, I had another treatment of radiation. This morning, I went in for my 3-month checkup. So next Monday, we'll find out the results for the scan this morning.
And you just mentioned, you know, that marathon. Can you talk about that and what you've done since your, you know, your treatment, your surgery, and what made you want to participate in the marathon?
Marathon running has been what I've loved to do for the last 6 years. So it was a huge part of my life. So being told I couldn't do it was like, wait a sec. The doctor's telling me that because obviously he's going off of track record, or most people that have a hip replacement and a femur replacement, they don't go on and live as active a life as they may have before, right? Being that I'm on the younger side of people that are diagnosed with chondrosarcoma, typically happening, you know, with people over 40 and such. I wanted to set myself a goal that I knew would be extremely difficult, but not impossible. And I chose that to be a marathon finish line. And it was the same marathon that I signed up for my first marathon. But I knew that if I, every day I was putting in work, I would be able to walk the marathon, despite how long it may take. And it may have taken me the whole day. I was prepared to go out there and walk the entire day if it meant completing another marathon. So I had made that commitment while in like the hospital. When I got diagnosed, and before that, my goal was to complete another one. So kind of cancer was just got in the way, inconveniently got in the way, I guess you could say. But every day when I would go to physical therapy or do my physical therapy, or when the world locked down and I was walking outside to, you know, get some fresh air, I would push further than I thought I was going to go just to, you know, prove to myself, hey, I can do it today. I can do that extra bit. And yeah, over the year of 2020, I trained enough and built up enough so that the beginning of 2021, I could complete the 26.2 miles. And I mean, it took me 12 hours and 32 minutes and 32 seconds to complete. But the way I felt during it was a lot better than I did during my first. So it's pretty amazing to see that after going through the extensive surgery I went through, with them taking my ligaments and like majority of my glutes on my right side and like all the tendons and ligaments on the exterior of my hip, with all that being gone, my muscle or my leg was able to overcome and utilize what it had remaining to walk a marathon, and basically pain-free, with the exception of like a few muscles that were just a little bit upset, but it was nothing that they hadn't been upset after, you know, 5-mile walk. Normally, it's going to be always discomfort. I think when people go through any types of surgery, especially cancer and, you know, other diseases and stuff, there's going to be pain afterwards. I just like to refer to that as like discomfort, because the pain prior was like extreme pain. So it certainly is interesting what the body can overcome.
So kind of with that in mind, you know, you've talked about adversity and challenges. Obviously, your journey and your experience has been a significant challenge. When many people, you know, face one of like an adversity or a challenge, a lot of times our thoughts are, there's no way I can do this. I can't keep going. And they kind of want to give up, you know. And in your case, you faced two challenges, honestly three, in the sense that you needed a lifestyle change. You were attacked from behind and went through surgery, and now you went through a rare bout of cancer. So what is some advice you would give to others facing, you know, a cancer journey or a similar situation? How would you tell them, you know, keep pushing forward? I'm a great example of that.
The cancer journey is brutal, right? Because we're all human. So we're all going to experience these things differently or the same. Our thoughts are what we have to control. So the advice I would give is have the understanding that it's okay to be fearful. It's okay to be scared. It's okay to be like, hey, I want to give up. I can't keep doing this. There's too many doctor's appointments, too many scans. Nobody's listening to me. Like, it can be brutal. Like, you can think that you're alone. And it's like, even though you're really not alone, the feeling of being extremely alone can be there, because you're like, nobody's listening to me. They don't know what it's like. You know, you have people that are coming up to you, wishing you all the best. And you're like, wait a second. It's like, I appreciate that. But sometimes that's not what you want to hear. Right. So what I do is, like Jimmy V said, if you every day cry, you think you love, and you get moved to emotion. Every day I've done that. I've laughed. I've cried. I think it's therapeutic, because when you have a good laugh, I mean, there's always something to laugh about. always. Like, you can be having the worst day, and then the beeping doesn't stop from the IV machine. It's okay to laugh there, you know, because you try to use your toe to kick it off, you know, or something like that, and it's like not going off. It's okay to laugh when it's not okay to laugh. I would acknowledge the thoughts, you know, that you have, be positive or negative, and recognize them, but remind yourself that you've already overcome whatever you've overcome. It's probably been challenging. Yes, this is extremely challenging, but if you break down other things in life or other events, more than likely there's something that's been a challenge too that you thought you couldn't overcome, and use that to overcome. Also, I just think about the kids that have bone cancer. I mean, bone cancer is, I think, number two outside of leukemia for childhood cancers. And over 50% of all bone cancers are misdiagnosed at first. So there's kids out there that were just like me that weren't getting listened to because they thought it was growing pains, or they didn't go to the doctor because their mom or parents didn't take them. Or when they went to the doctor's like, oh, no, it's nothing. And then just sent them on. Those kids, that's what I think about. Those poor kids, they're trying to tell people, hey, something's not right. And nobody's listening to them. So I think of others when I think I can't go anymore. I always think about those kids that are going further. They're overcoming. And because some of those stories, you said, whoa, absolutely amazing, especially like bone cancer, because that's obviously what's close to me. And that's what I've been following, you know, and the bone cancer for different countries and stuff. And to see what these kids overcome and they're able to do, and it's like, wow, that kid can go out there and do that. I'm going to do that too, you know, like, but yeah, I it's okay to use others as inspiration or hope, but don't just because somebody else is doing it faster than you, or just because somebody else is, it may look that somebody else isn't struggling. Don't think that they're not struggling like you're struggling. We all struggle. And it's also okay not to be okay. And it's okay to tell people no. And then ultimately, the best advice is to be your own advocate, especially during the medical and the insurance routes and everything, you know, the cancer journey, throw that in. And there's going to be a lot of appointments and a lot of, you know, scans and a lot of treatments and stuff. But being your own advocate, definitely, because nobody's going to fight harder than you.
Knowing what you know now, if you could go back and tell yourself something at the start of your diagnosis or your treatment, what would it be?
The nurse's station has apple juice. No, that is true, though. That's one thing I do. They all have. I mean, it's easier said than done now, but I would say I would at the beginning, because I didn't know. From going from, hey, I just thought it was like a cyst, you know, or something like some fluid I was going to get drained out like they used to do in my knee, right? I thought it was going to be drained out. I didn't think it was some cancer need surgery. I would tell myself to be less scared. There was a 6-week period of from surgery to being home. That was, yeah, like it went from hospital to nursing home to being home alone. It's like 3 stages. So everything's going to be okay, as bad as it's got. It got pretty bad there for a little bit, but it's like, I didn't think I would be walking with a brace on her and a walker for 4 months. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, everything's going to be okay.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.